This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Carol Cox Show, right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As you know, here in Hawaii, any day is beautiful. That's why they call it paradise, and that's why people pay to come here. And I like it. So anyway, got an interesting topic today, again, about civil rights. And this one here grabs me because I was always interested in discussing civil rights, because that's just what we as human beings have, and it's our natural rights, but for some way, especially here in America, civil rights are afforded to us by the Constitution, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, on and on and on. But we're going to be talking this morning about transgender, and talking with my friend here, Kelly Keawe, and Hina Wong Kalu. And I want you to know up front, folks, this is a very, for me, it's something that I want to be very sensitive about, because that's my purpose of having this show. Imagine being discriminated against. We hear about the various things of LGBT. What really is the discrimination? how harsh is it? Does it exist out there for members of the community? And I think so, and I have proof of that. And as anything, you know, you have various issues, religious stances and just personal stances. So we're going to talk about everything. I was assured that nothing is off limits because this is an educational coffee talk time. And hopefully those of you that have questions, and be kind enough, because if you call up and you're nasty, I'm going to slam you and I'm going to stick the phone down and we're going to shut you off. So it's that simple. We'll have a civil conversation. But just up front, no rude and crude comments. So if you're inclined to do that, move on down the dial. So anyway, Kelly, thank you for joining me.
Jemini,
thank you.
Aloha. So,
can you introduce yourselves? And we're going to talk to you, Kelly, about various things. You've here in the news recently about a lawsuit, a complaint against the Department of Public Safety of the state. And there are other issues. And Hina, you are a member of the community, and I was going to ask you to do a pulley for us, but if you would be so kind.
Sure.
I'm sorry to thrust that on.
No, it's okay. It's great. Pule kako. Ohe oye kamakua lani, kamakua aloha, kiakua mana. Ke ulu me ohe kiakua, o oi pume mako I ke iala mako. E hala vai nei a o oi pume mako mana kule ana polo ko makua la ana. Ke ulu me ohe kiakua, na ona no kia iala kai, ai malama mai kai mai a mako. A na ona ho malama lama mai ko makua la hele. A na ona oi vehi ka ipuka. No ka ike me kana awao I hiki ke ia hola o ke kuka kama ilio ana e lilo I mea ho ana awao no kopo ia pauloa o koho wa inei pai aina mai kahi au au a kahi au au a hiki loa mai o ahu nei e no ke kahi wahi leo pule e hawi nei ka leo mahalo mahalo anu ia oi ke kua no na po mai ke ia pau a mahalo no ke ia mai kai a mahalo no ke hui ana hui kala mai ko mako lawe hala ana ke kua a o mai a mako I ka pono me ka mano ko walo mako leo pule ho I ke ia oi ma ka ino ka makua me ke keike me ka uhane hamlele amen
amen thank amen. You and 524-1080 as we get into the conversation we're going to be here for a while and don't be shy please call in if you want to comment or offer support but Kelly tell us a little bit about you.
Sure, I was born and raised in Hawaii. And I had worked with the state for a past decade now, continuing. And I just wanted to bring the subject up with discrimination and making the people understand discrimination is something that, you know, we have to educate people to understand not to discriminate. It's hurtful.
Right.
Yes, my work in the community reminds me sometimes on a daily basis that every opportunity we can to take, to put ourselves out there, to put our voice out there, to stand behind the basic life issues and the basic pathways for respect leading to success, we have to take them. And so being here, thank you, Carol, for inviting us to be on this program, because it is an opportunity for us to not necessarily illustrate through what we will share how we are different, but moreover how we are similar.
Right.
Yes.
Well, so often we engage in these conversations and inevitably someone will declare, this is not about civil rights. Being gay and the issues that are, or complexities that a gay or lesbian or transgender faces is not civil rights. But it is just that. And I can draw parallels. Everything as an African-American male growing up, while I can't speak for the hatred and the prejudices that you experience firsthand, I can say to you bigotry is a reality. It's daily. And how do you address it? Well, constantly I'm challenged with it in some little minor act or some major act. When I turn on the TV, I still see a disproportionate number of people of Anglo-Saxon or Nordic background. And what does that say? We're not capable of delivering the news, or, you know, but it goes deeper than that.
It does. But one thing the public has to realize, too, is we're trying to prevent ridicule. Mm-hmm. And in the workplace, bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that the word has to get out. Discrimination mm-hmm. is discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't have to endure a fear of going to work or even going into public.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause public accommodations is something that, you know, we have to go out into the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and transgenders always seem to be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of one of the acts of the protected class that we have.
Yeah. As we talked, I will say that I've known Hina for several years. I've known you for several years.
Yeah.
And for anyone out there that get off a plane and think you know what Aloha is, I've never had one unpleasant moment in passing and chatting with you, Kelly, or Hina. Never, ever, ever. And so it, this feeling of just, it's genuine, just good human exchange and the spirituality and all of that. And I appreciate that. But it bothers me when I hear some of the remarks. And I'm guilty of those remarks, too, going back in time. And then once you learn how hurtful, and of all people, I should know what discrimination is. And I know how painful it is. But I even myself participated in foul jokes about the gay community and what have you. And so to try to gain ground, I'm obligated to be realistic and try to, when the opportunity comes, let's talk about it. Let's expose the issues. Let's flesh it out and say, stop the hurt. And if you would, for the people out there listening, can you tell us the difference, or explain what a transgender is and a transsexual, if you would, just so that they will know what we're...
Sure. A transgender mm-hmm. is someone that is in pre-op, preparing themselves for transitioning over to being a true female,
mm-hmm.
which will be considered transsexual.
Mm-hmm.
Transsexual is someone that is pre-op, post-op, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
that is completed.
Mm-hmm.
And legal documents, there's a lot of legal things that they have to go through, you know, changing birth certificates, you know, updating information. Everything will be changed, so they'll be considered born as a female, die as a female.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between transgender and transsexual.
I went to the ACLU website and I found some documents and the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title VII,
mm-hmm.
Here in the state of Hawaii actually applies. Not every state, for example, unless this is an outdated document, it said that transgenders are protected only in housing. But that's not true, because you have some actions and have succeeded.
In the workplace, yes.
In the workplace.
Right now, there is many laws that have passed
mm-hmm.
allowing to introduce gender identity and sexual orientation that was added to the protected class.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of laws will protect all transgenders.
Mm-hmm.
So from any anti-discrimination acts that are out there, because it's way beyond the appearance of a transgender. They take it way beyond.
Mahalo, Kelly, for helping to enlighten our community listening. For me, I'm going to redirect our focus just for a moment
mm-hmm.
to talk about the cultural understanding here in Hawaii about what is known as transgender and transsexual.
Mm-hmm.
From the Western level of articulation on this topic, it can get really drawn out, fleshed out, and categorized. It can be given so many different terms. Someone's sexual identity preference.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different things. Whether they feel or they consider themselves a male or a female. But then again, what is their sexual preference. I have a friend who is female to male transsexual, mm-hmm. who now prefers a male to female mm-hmm. transsexual. Get that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we really think about examining these little details in people's lives, it really gets to the larger picture, and that is that we should be free to express ourselves in the manner of which we feel is consistent with the inside, and in a manner which is consistent with that which we feel gives us fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, back to what I was wanting to get at. When the Hawaiian word mahu is applied to this understanding, that really helps to give a different feel to what we're talking about. The word mahu for us could be, and let's just speak from the male point of reference. The mahu could be a male who is going with another male,
mm-hmm.
And more appropriately, that male has some quote-unquote feminine qualities or characteristics. And whether or not that male will assimilate his manner or dress to that of a female is up to that individual. Mm-hmm. However, there's room there for a little more diversity. So you could have a feminine male-looking individual, or you could have a male who has transformed and changed himself to present the image and essence of female, you know, to the best
mm-hmm.
of ability. What is my point? My point is that from the Western view of life, there's every little box of categorization, and there's every opportunity for scrutinizing an individual's life.
Mm-hmm.
Whose business is it in this lifetime that we live for someone out in the public to determine for me what's
mm-hmm.
right for me?
Mm-hmm.
So as someone who will identify technically as mahu, I don't want the limitations mm-hmm. to be imposed on me. Now, depending on the generation that one comes from here in Hawaii, there are mahu who will not like that word to be applied because it was always coming with a very negative connotation to it. There's never any time where the use of the word mahu meant anything nice
mm-hmm.
or anything of respect.
Mm.
However, as someone who has stood up for cultural practitioners and practice and philosophy, it is important to consider where we are. And in Hawaii, mahu have a place. Mahu, amongst many families who are still Hawaiian mm-hmm. to the core of their existence, will embrace mahu and allow them to fulfill the roles that they are always capable of fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to ask that question later regarding cultural. How myself, I'm a transplant from Mississippi, and we know everything. We got the Bible, and we've read it, and we can recite it backwards, and we apply to our lives there in the South. It's a perfect world. But we land here, and then we start to project on this culture. When I say we, Wisconsin, Alabama, people from the mainland, have we ever given any thought to, or are we just saying, well, these are the rules that we live by, so therefore this is what here in Hawaii shall live by?
Well, basically, that should be broad.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, considering one as a transgender, you know, it should be respected in all states.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, because President Obama has signed a law allowing the protections for transgender, and we should all respect.
Mm-hmm.
Respect that transgenders, you know, are human.
Right.
Besides just local family. Local family, Hawaiian families, they really respect mm-hmm. the transgenders.
Now, for me, I look at this and I say, if you are openly gay, that's when this debate start to talk about rises, whether your rights, when in fact, as a citizen of these United States, you already have the rights under that afford you protection from discrimination, from attacks on your assaults because of your race, creed, color, or religion, and on, right? So why is there an increased discussion or more discussion about the fact that you're now making open declaration or making overt actions to go and have the operation or say to, as you, Kelly, and various businesses, we'll talk about the Costco incident, for example, if you could just explain your experience in that where we, like myself, heterosexual, I wouldn't begin to know, but I do know whispers and nasty names projected at me would be offensive. So if you could
elaborate,
share with
a little bit,
tell the story.
Well, growing up, we already been teased.
Mm-hmm.
We had passed that teasing stage once we become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So now at this point, the transgender feel that they should be respected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any part of the LGBT should be respected. Because now, because there's laws that are protecting the LGBT community, because we never had that law protecting
mm-hmm.
specifically. When you talk about the different types of apps that are there, it's not totally protecting the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And especially with transgenders, you know, that is something that you don't really see them in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're afraid of being discriminated
mm-hmm.
or not getting, you know, not getting the job when they're applying for positions or what the public will perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, now that doing school, we kind of want to protect the ones that are upcoming because
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are dropping out of school, which we want a lot of the transgender to complete school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to college, get a good job. Because now we have laws that protect,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone's gender identity, and that's especially for transgender.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we always had gays and lesbians spread,
mm-hmm.
but we never had really focused on transgender. So that's why we bring in an awareness to the people that transgenders are going to be coming out into the community, and they should be respected.
What can either of you speak to about this BS that it's a trend, being transgender, transsexual, or gay, and being open is a trend? I call it BS, and I wish it wasn't Sunday morning. Oh, and by the way, happy Father's Day, everybody out there. But you know, there's this claim, I guess for the more ignorant ones out there of us human beings to say that it's a trend. Now, who the hell would want to suffer the bigotry and the hatred and the discrimination just to be trendy?
Okay. Can we talk?
Yes, let's talk.
Let's talk. Here's how I feel on this. You're exactly right, Cal. Who in the hell, excuse me, why would someone like myself choose to be something that's already going to set so many challenges and obstacles before me
right.
if I did not feel that it was simply being myself?
Mm-hmm.
Some people will argue that you learn how to be like this. Some people will argue that you can change somebody from how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it that people are trying to change quote-unquote straight people from being straight people?
Right.
I'm not trying to change you, Cal Cox, and trying to tell you, you need to like men.
Yeah.
Because what you like is no good. There's nobody out there doing this. How utterly ridiculous is this concept. So, anyway, I really think that there, and focusing this discussion here in Hawaii, this is just absolutely ridiculous. Number one, our own individual freedoms and expressions should not be infringed upon. We call that in Hawaiian, maha'oi. The Hawaiian word is maha'oi, meaning if Carol Cox came knocking at my door saying, "Hina le moana," you know, you're sleeping with somebody that it's not right for you to sleep with this person.
Right.
Because you are this. And I'm going to say, maha'oi, who are you? Mm-hmm. You don't come to my door telling me this. So likewise, it is not appropriate for people out there to look at us and to determine, for example, in a transgender person, determine whether we pass or not.
Mm-hmm.
Does the next person, does the general public feel that I, Hina, pass as a female? If you listen to my voice, any of you listeners out there are going to listen to me and say, geez, this voice is so low, it's got to be a man. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, yes, I was born my family's son.
Mm-hmm.
But my life has transitioned to be my family's daughter. The one thing that I could not change was my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so for any transgender, male to female, the voice may be low.
Mm-hmm.
Female to male, the voice may be high. You may not get away from the size of someone's hands, the size of someone's feet. Does someone have facial hair? Does someone have an Adam's apple? Does someone have features that are more physically associated with a male or a female? In the workforce, if a male-to-female transgender is extremely passable, meaning that they have more Western-oriented features that are quote-unquote soft, that are feminine, the vocal qualities are light and not too thick.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is masculine and feminine? And that is, number one, not only the eye of the beholder, but different cultures assign different things to what is masculine and what is feminine. In the culture of the French and any Latin-based language, there's masculine and feminine articulation of, you know, you know whether you're talking to a man or you're talking to a woman.
Right.
In Hawaiian, it is not so. And in other Polynesian languages, when we say he, she, or it, I say, oh, where's Carol? He went to the store. Mahea o Carol? O oya? Wahele oye kahale ku'ai. So oya, the word oya, is he, she, and it, all in one word, oya. There is no gender marker on that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the point? We're focusing so much now because of that point that you brought up about being from Mississippi. And I have to say, I'm going to challenge you this morning, very politely, because I've known you for years, that this is really a political discussion here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call America the mainland because that's not my mainland. Mm-hmm. It is the political landmass that controls what happens here. It impacts everything that happens here.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind and in my heart, it will never be the dominant factor over what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in the workforce, if I were to go out into a Costco or be at my job and someone was to tell me, you can't use the restroom, you know, my first reaction is, so what do you want me to do? Take a crap right here on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go where, you know, I'm going to feel safe. If I walked in to a male bathroom like this, I think that men in the bathroom would feel offended and say, what is that? You can't be in here. I think it's even worse. People are always worried about, oh, well, there's a male here in the female bathroom thinking that we're going to go after some female. You know, it's not to say that there aren't crazy people out there, but excuse me, you know, I would feel very, very uncomfortable and very unsafe in the men's bathroom because that would subject me to more violence, more discrimination, and more negative of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, you know, it's unfortunate that, yes, outsiders have imposed a way of life, a philosophy of existence, and a system, a political and economic system mm-hmm. that can and will be used to manipulate mm-hmm. how you and I and everyone else listening mm-hmm. interact and engage with each other. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that boggle people's minds?
Yeah. Well, I just tried. I was talking to Kelly the other day, and I thought, yeah, what if someone walked up to me and asked me if I still have my penis, or how long am I, or asked me private questions?
Yes. How big is your penis,
yeah,
Carol?
I heard that black guys had large. You know, this kind of nonsense is
ridiculous.
Crazy, you understand? And so you look at this and you think, wow. I when you take a closer look at it, it's ridiculous when we come so far, but we're so far back and removed from just common decency, because heterosexuals don't go around checking, well, you know, do you still have yours? Or have you had your foreskin removed? Or have you, you know, really?
Well, here's a better question. How small is your vagina?
Yeah.
Is your vagina small or big? Mm-hmm. You know, it's utterly ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, what that says to people is that there is this preoccupation that there is a right or wrong, a better or a worse, in terms of what someone's genitalia is about. Genitalia has a function. Mm-hmm. Genitalia is one for reproduction. Genitalia is, you know, it's for obviously bodily function.
Right.
And whether someone has a big one or a small one, just be lucky that someone has one that works.
Yeah. And have you had enhancement? Imagine being a heterosexual to walk in and be approached, and you know. But I was sharing with you. Go ahead.
Well, Carol, it's more like it's a stereotype, like Hina said. It's mm-hmm. a stereotype. Pronouns should not be used if it's not being used correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And stereotype is just something that someone just express their own feeling, but there is things that protect transgender in every way that, you know, stereotypes cannot be used.
I'm sure that Kelly would agree. When we walk into some place, if someone else felt that either she or I was acceptable and passable as a female, they would refer to us as she.
Mm-hmm.
But if they see that I have an Adam's apple, or I have a low voice, and they listen to me and they look at me, or if they see that I have facial hair or whatever, if they give me the up and down and twice around,
double up,
and then they're going to determine whether or not they feel it is appropriate to address me as a he or she. If I pull up to a Jack in the Box or McDonald's mm-hmm. and I speak into the microphone, "Hi, could I have a number two, please?" What would you like with, what drink would you like with that, sir?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nowadays I don't even bother to correct anyone because it's just pointless. I'll just drive up to the window and then they'll look and they'll be like, oh, okay.
They're embarrassed.
And I don't even make it, depends on where we are as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
How strong or not am I as an individual? How much conviction do I have to simply be myself, and if the next person doesn't like it, well, that's just too damn bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, to make matters worse, I'll try to imagine just how really pissed off you are when you get out of going through all of that. Then you pull over to find out you didn't get what you ordered.
Exactly.
Because they're preoccupied with...
or better yet... in one of the fast food drive-thrus, I drive through. My voice is thick.
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's a man's voice, and I can't avoid that. So I'll mm-hmm. go up in order, and then I hear this voice say, "Aloha, welcome to McDonald's. How may I help you?" And then I drive up, and it's definitely a man.
Uh-huh.
Physical man.
Right.
But his voice is so high that I thought it was a woman. But he's not trying to be pretentious about anything else.
Right.
And so he hands me my order and says, "Thank you very much for coming to McDonald's." Yeah. And I'm baffled. You know, I'm like, okay, all right. But when you stop and think about it, whose business is it of mine
mm-hmm.
to say anything about this individual's voice? Just be lucky that they can speak. just be lucky that they took my order and they gave me the right order. Just be lucky that they didn't spit on my food.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I have no business to impose or intrude upon another's life. It's just not right.
But, you know, when you get that kind of behavior, you, if they are rude to you and disrespectful, then you might want to ask yourself, maybe I shouldn't be eating this food anyway. It's not good for me anyway.
Right, right.
Greasy hamburgers.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion. That is a whole nother discussion.
But you know, I was sharing with you, Kelly, that it's a funny thing. We get up in arms and we're all nervous about the transgender going into this restroom or going into that restroom. But what I've noticed, and it more frequent than I were seeing in the past, is that there would be a man that comes into the restroom with a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, in the men's restroom to use the restroom. And I'm thinking, where's the Bob McDermott's on that? Why the hell aren't they out there? Why aren't the religious right going, well, what on earth are you doing bringing a young girl in a male's restroom? I don't care what, you know, I know you're worried that someone's going to snatch you if you went inside and left her outside. But why do we tolerate such a thing when supposedly the things that this is the allegations and their concerns that they project on you is that you're a bad image for the society and their ways? See, this is just absolutely absurd when we tolerate some behavior such as that, and then just wail away at the transgender, the LGBT community. So,
wow.
You know what I found, Carol, is that, and it unfortunately tends to be a very male-dominated and male-oriented issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's complex and cannot be... It can't be stereotyped and completely compartmentalized to say that it's, you know, something is always like this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But from personal experience, the men who have had the most issues with a transgender / transsexual are the ones that desired that opportunity and that experience the most.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who sought that kind of, you know, that kind of experience above and beyond what others look for. I can't tell you that, you know, I'm 42 now, and during the course of dating and meeting people in my life, you would always run across the men that say, hey, don't tell. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. I'm not like that. I haven't done this before. You know, they would say, oh, well, you know, I'm straight, but I have a wife or something like this, and it's like it's utterly ridiculous. So what? You know, why is it that you have to prove that you are or you aren't something? And like I said, the ones who really desired the experience of being with someone who provided that duality in physical and intimate encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Were the ones who had the greatest trepidation, the greatest fear of the transgender, the transsexual, or the mahu experience.
Mm-hmm.
Any transgender out there that will listen to this, they'll be saying, right on, girl, we know, we understand.
Yeah, but what if they were to be open? Eventually, they'll get persecuted. And in the job force, in the workplace, I spoke to two other transgender, and they didn't want to be nowhere near this subject, especially public, because they have very good positions and very, you know, high-level position. But imagine being imprisoned not because of who you are, but because what the other people will do to you, the persecution. And we'll talk more in details, but why is it that there's this prevailing mindset or attitude that suggests that a transgender or gay person, if they're flying the space shuttle, they got one hand on the throttle and they're thinking about sex with, why is it that way that they project on you that if you're a teacher, you're going to bring sex into the picture.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, heterosexuals...
It's a stereotype.
Yeah, those but it's used to demonize you when, in fact... can you speak to that?
Oh, yes, I can, Carol Cox. Thank you for bringing this up, because I have wanted an opportunity to say to the world that is listening out there, excuse me, I was vilified on social media and in the public about me being a man in a dress. This is by the right-wing extreme Republican members of this community.
Tito Montez, I'll say it.
Is that his name?
Republican Assembly.
Yes. And you know, excuse me, I participated in the Pono Choices program. I was asked if I would do a video segment. The filming occurred over the course of maybe an hour. I spent an hour. It was with the intent that this segment was going to be part of a larger group of segments. It was part of this program. It's to help prevent teens from contracting HIV, STDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simply meant to empower the people. My role was to play a transgender teacher.
Right.
And that transgender teacher had HIV. And so after the world watches this, and after the Republicans, the right-wing Republicans, get a hold of this, my face and my name gets blasted, saying that, oh, he who considers himself a she, he just couldn't get over it. I swear, this individual and anybody else who agreed with him must have had some serious male member dysfunctional issues. He must have had the diminutive male syndrome, having to refer to me in male. I don't need to be reminded right. about what my history is, what I was born. Mm-hmm. I'm, excuse me, I'm the one living my life, not someone else.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was brought into it, saying that in social media, watch as Alan Wong's brother. Excuse me, what does Alan Wong, what in the hell does he have to do with anything that concerns me?
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to do with his life. You know, he pays his own bills and he has his own name and I have mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're family and that's it.
Yeah. And this is a style, though, you see, to demonize and to strike out. And it's about you being who you are.
It's
not,
about
not what you are, but who you are. And
it's about poor thing. Yeah. Diminutive male member syndrome. How unfortunate.
But I think you might be onto something there, because you know, for a viral male, healthy, educated, got a little money in his pocket, got a little power, and he can only spend time looking into other people's sex life. Or
nobody has any business whatsoever about looking into anybody else's sex life. Whatever it is they want to do, they want to watch a video, they want to go down to the show. You know, sorry. You see, I'm getting carried away here. You want to go down to the personal shop down the road, and you want to get something that's for your use.
Yeah.
It's your business.
Yeah.
It is not the government's business. It's not anybody else's business. Not unless you're paying for my bills and you're feeding me and caring for me when I'm sick and any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe you might have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, and speaking of teacher, excuse me. What my personal life is no indicator. It is not something that will preclude me from being a good teacher or not.
Mm-hmm.
Do I respect my students? Yes. Do I make them work hard? Yes. Do I have high expectations? Yes. Do I tell them on a daily basis that they can and will be a success, just that they have to apply themselves? I tell my students this every day, and to be vilified in the public was so upsetting to my school. If someone had an issue and came down to Halau Lokahi Public Charter School to complain, if there were people holding signs out there picketing my school because Halau Lokahi hired a trans woman teacher, the parents, the staff, and the students would all have something to say. And they'd be lucky that if they left our school without being bodily injured, because I know that there are people who would rise up and do something about you know, somebody coming to hold a sign against me mm-hmm. down at the school.
Do you remember that day that about 2 years ago you had your class sing me a melee?
Yes.
There on the Honolulu Holly yard?
Yes, yes.
I still have that. And I got to tell you, that was the most moving experience I've had in my adult life ever. I still have that on because I had my camera rolling and I was taping it. And occasionally I play it back once in a while, and it's... You know, I get to say it's all about me, you know, but mm-hmm. but you got to be a sick individual, and I want to make sure the listeners out there and some of you, I'm not patronizing either of you because I'll mm-hmm. tell you what's on my mind anyway, and those of you thinking that I'm
that's why we like you,
you know,
it's
bigotry is bigotry, and
that's
I don't
right.
care that debate. Well, it's not a I in the same sex issues. Marriage and what have you, I felt alone when I would hear other African Americans say, well, it's not about civil rights. It's a religious thing. It's about God. It's about, you know, and it's like, come on. You just got free of your shackles, and you haven't even, the scar haven't even been removed mentally or physically, and you're trying to define what is civil rights. You know, we all have those inalienable rights, mm-hmm. period. And so that's painful that even we would go down that road to discuss whether issues that impact you. I mean, and we're going to talk about it in the next hour. But I'm going to go back to that Costco thing. And I'm going to...
Sure.
What happened, though?
Well, basically, like what Hina said,
mm-hmm.
she's working... Like Hina said, she's working
mm-hmm.
in the charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody against she protection
mm-hmm.
to transgenders in the workplace. Protection is what is there for her.
Right.
But just a lot of people out there don't know. The private sector, the government, don't know how to apply some of these protected class that we have.
They do.
We do have protected class there.
This is what's frustrating about the long debate. It invites knuckleheads to come in and throw in the Jesus bit and the religious bit and the philosophical. The government can head off a lot of this because civil rights, if you're part of a protected group,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to define each specific act or action.
That's right.
You're protected group, you fall on the Title VII, right?
Not everybody knows that.
But no, we're talking about the government, see?
Yes.
They're attached. That's part of, that is a mandate. See, it's not about not everybody knows. You're right. People that just got off the boat from Spain to come here to buy one of the Kakaako condominiums, you know?
Right.
That's different. But we're talking about government agencies who are mandated by law to make sure that the workplace, the workforce, is fair and open and clean
and free.
Free of these acts of discrimination, right?
Yes.
That's the key. And so when you declare that you're a transgender, they don't have to put training wheels on this subject and start all over again. It's clear in Title VII. I mean, you know, and like the... Are there laws that clear... This is off of the... ACLU, talking about discrimination in employment, housing, and public. And it asks, are there laws that clearly prohibit discrimination against transgender? So, see, yes, there is. And you don't have to, the agency don't have to start all over and go back to school.
No.
You see? Hold on, let's. Call a good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yeah, my name is Tachana Johnson. I work as a gender equity advocate at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and I'm just wanted to, my comment is to say I really appreciate that you're having this conversation on the radio. It's something that I deal with day in and day out as someone who focuses on sex discrimination, not only in employment, but in the education setting. And, you know, from my perspective, and I'm also a lawyer, clearly the law, Title VII and Title IX in terms of education, protects our transgender community. It's just unfortunately not everyone knows that and not everyone's made aware of it. And I think programs like this is a good way to kind of educate the public. And I just wanted to say I really appreciate it. that you're having this conversation.
Thank you, and I hope you can call in the next hour because we're going to be talking more about this, and I really appreciate you taking the time and calling us and sharing your thoughts.
Okay.
All righty. Try calling us back. I would appreciate it if you would. Maybe we have some stumbling blocks here. You can help us out.
Okay, will do.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
But it's a terrible, terrible situation that it always, it's like, okay, we get to go back to the drawing board on this one. No, you don't. The law is clear. It says you can and you can't and you shall and you may, right? And it's specific. And so, but on this, when you were at Costco, I'm going to tell the story because we're having a struggle getting And they say names, the workers complain about names and things of that nature.
As a customer, you know, mm-hmm. public accommodations is important. Mm-hmm. You know, but the workers that are employed by mm-hmm. almost anywhere, any mm-hmm. store mm-hmm. or any restaurant or even the drive-thru, like Hina mentioned, mm-hmm. what is it of their business to be marking someone or stereotyping someone because they're visiting the store? Yeah. It's a place where public accommodations are given to all.
Yeah.
And transgender seems to always get targeted. Mm-hmm. So, again, education, education, education.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Having something like this, you know, it protects the transgender. So transgender brings it up to management.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to management to assure that training is out to all employees
mm-hmm.
and not excuses.
Right. So if I walk up to the counter and I'm transgender and I say, I'd like to have two breasts and a drumstick and some of your beans or whatever the hell you're selling me. And they say, yes, sir. Sir, is there anything else, sir? And I say to them, no, I'm...
You're correcting
please
them.
Please address me as
right.
Miss.
Right, there's nothing wrong with
you
correcting them.
And then they go, oh, yeah, right.
Them.
And then you complain to the management, and management say, well, you know, they don't know no better. Well, then you need to train them to sensitivity,
right.
being sensitive to that.
That's right.
Well, no, that's not our problem. Okay, well, then the next resolution, a solution to your behavior is to follow legal action.
Well, one of my experiences that I had was going to Popeyes.
Mm-hmm.
Three different occasions when, like Hina said, when we go to the drive-thru and they using pronouns again,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're calling you he or sir, and then when you get up to the window, they're embarrassed. Because they're like, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are not embarrassed, and they continue to do the stereotype and calling he.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold that thought. We're going to come back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Kelly Keavi and Hina Wong Kalu. So we'll be back shortly. And you can pick it up on the web, KWAI1080AM.com.
One summer day, I'm sitting on top of the world. Wait all the summer, wait all the fall.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number. You can go to the website at KWAI 1080 AM and listen to us live over streaming over the internet if you're having bad connections for the radio. And also you can pick this up podcast in about 10 minutes after the show go off air, so at carolcox.com. And my guest again is Kelly Keawe, Hina Wong Kalu, and what we're discussing is the daily life, I should say, and the struggles for transgender, transsexual, and members of the LGBT community. And also, I should add, the struggles for the heterosexual, who we can't seem to get it right. But I guess if we're nosy and trying to dictate people's lives, I guess we're struggling too, huh? But anyway, go back, Kelly. We were talking about the experience as a transgender, just going to shop just to buy lunch.
Okay. Hey, Carol. Okay. As I left off, this is to the drive-thru of Popeye's Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be using pronouns, employees, to be calling someone he, him, sir, is really offensive to a transgender like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to correct them when I'm at the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can't seem to get it straight, then on my next visit, I'll make sure I'll see supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to get some kind of education out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then his supervisor can't seem to educate his employees or retrain them, you know, because it is discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone like myself as a transgender go to a public place like Popeye's Chicken and then turns around and starts to name call me by pronouning me,
mm-hmm.
and if I have to correct you, then your management should train you better before you start,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and on the third time, when I went back to Popeye's, again, same thing. Mm-hmm. Then they apologized, wrote a letter to me, and apologizing for their mistake. Mm-hmm. So that becomes admission.
Admission that they acknowledge that it's happening.
Right.
I take ownership of it.
Right. So at that point, I'm hoping that they're going to educate the employees
mm-hmm.
when they're in the public eyes, you know, behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, discrimination. Everyone should have, you know, especially in the private sector, should know offensive words cannot be used
right.
in the public eyes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they owe it to everyone to be respectful because they're your customers, and then first of all, and secondly, no one wants to be degraded and whatever. Let's call a good morning. You have a comment, a question for Kelly or Hina? Ed? Go ahead.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Hi,
this
good
is
morning.
Hina's mother, Georgette.
Yes.
And I was listening to your program, so I was just calling in. I don't have a question, but I'm glad she's there and, you know, talking straight, as I had told her before when she was a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
because she would change her voice to try and be more feminine, and what I had told her was that she should be herself.
Right.
Because I knew who she was, so she doesn't have to pretend, you know, just
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
speak how you want to speak, and that's better all the way around.
And how's she doing today?
I think she's doing great.
Okay.
I'm very proud of her.
Well, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Aloha. Bye-bye. I share with you that, and I've shared this before, many times, we talk all the time when I'm running down to the health department, pulling records, you know, it reminds me when you were telling me some of these stories about you being called, a pronoun being used. I remember way back when my brothers and I and my grandfather or uncles would go somewhere in the stores and boy, grown ass man, the clerk would be addressing my grandfather or uncles, and this kid could be a 19-year-old, 20-year-old boy, what you want there? You know, you want me to get that down for you? Okay, well, all right, boy, that's going to be, and I had an uncle to say to one storekeeper, you know, it bothers me when you call me boy, and I've known you for a long time, but that's offensive. Well, don't shop here anymore. Well, the nice part about that today, there's the EEOC.
There's protection.
And there's protection. And you can sue the living hell out of them. And that brings me to this issue. In your issue with the State Department of Public Safety,
and
we'll talk about it, but there were some exchanges in the comments. You know, I don't give much value to them because they're anonymous, and you know, when people put masks on or and hide behind a hidden name or whatever, a code, I don't give much credibility. but it's worth watching. And they, oh, you're so happy. Well, in order, that's a great gamble to experience something and go file a complaint and thinking you're going to get money, because the EEOC or the Civil Rights Commission may not even process your case. So that's a gamble. And you have no control over what the decision would be. They will weigh the facts. So when people denigrate this whole process and your rights to exercise your rights to seek and be made whole again, that's troublesome right there.
It is, Carol, but it's been a decade mm-hmm. that I've been discriminated. Mm-hmm. And I'll give one example, the restroom. Mm-hmm. I was told at the day I started,
At Department of
Public Safety, mm-hmm. that I was not allowed to use the female restroom as a transgender female. Mm-hmm. I questioned why. They had small words to say and say that that's just what personnel wanted. No, you cannot use the female restroom. You will use one unmarked restroom. Mm-hmm. Through the entire building of all these bathrooms, I'm only allowed to use one. Mm-hmm. So, because I felt at that time that if I used the female restroom, would that risk me from losing my job? Mm-hmm. So, I just stayed with one restroom. I always ask, why do I have to use one restroom? Mm-hmm. And they said, because I would probably offend some of the females in the female restroom.
Right.
And I said, if they don't know anything of my background, and I presented myself as female, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be questioning me in the restroom or fear. Mm-hmm. So, as years had passed, now it's been a decade, I finally got permission from mm-hmm. the director mm-hmm. that I'm allowed to use the female restroom.
But you have to fight for it.
I had to file a complaint with the EEOC, with the Civil Rights Commission.
And they issued a ruling recently stating that they... Violated... What was it? It was written on 5/16/14, and basically it says the commission makes no finding as to whether charging party was subjected to harassment based on her sex, female, and or in retaliation for engaging in a protected activity. The commission's investigation has determined that there is reasonable cause to believe that charging party was denied the use of women's restroom and was instead assigned the use of a, quote, gender-neutral, end quote, restroom based on her sex, female. Therefore, I have concluded that the evidence is sufficient to establish a violation of the statute under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as amended. So I read that for those knuckleheads that were writing the comments that you're just doing this and making trouble and you're just so happy. The reality is, even if you were, you still got to, this is... An independent entity.
There's a lot of process you have to go through.
Do you have any stock in the EEOC?
No, I don't.
So you have no control.
I have no control. So, it's not about the money. Yeah. It's about the respect.
But it should be about the money, because if the money can bring pain to them and make them get their act together, whatever it takes that's legal. I mean, I don't think it's necessary to downplay the money. If you can sue someone... And they don't get it just when they should ordinarily have been respecting you for your and honoring your rights observing those.
Well, there's a lot of damage
that
they had occurred. The state had occurred, you know, to me. Mm-hmm. And because it's been a decade.
Yeah.
And that part, the money part, I don't really know how it works or if there is any money. That would be my attorney's too. Mm-hmm. To figure it out.
So here are the parallels. And I'm always drawing back this. I'm offering this to the naysayers who say that this isn't civil rights. This reminds me of the going into the Booker T. Theater in Cleveland, Mississippi, and to the other theaters where we as blacks or African Americans at that time we were colored, and so we could go into the balcony, but we could never be found sitting in the down on the front seats on the first floor with the whites. We could never go into the restaurants. We could go into the back. My grandmother was a cook at a restaurant, and even then we had to go through the back. So when you tell me the story and I read this, I just saw these things all upwelling again, thinking, and we say it's not about civil rights. I know how painful it was. I know how demeaning it was personally. And again, not patronizing you. It's just, it's a parallel, and I think it's real history. So when someone, the way I felt, less than human being, when these things are projected on me at that time, and you know, and so I can imagine that it doesn't.
I went through a lot. A lot.
And you're still going through it.
I'm still going through a lot.
How about you, Hina?
And go ahead.
How would you direct your question to me in my workplace? What would you want to ask me?
How are they treating you at school? Are you experiencing the same? Or are you being told that, well, don't be found with a kid alone and all of those things? And, you know, the nervousness as if you are a demon or something. Are they? have you been subjected to such interaction or reaction?
For the past 13 years working at Halaulakahi Public Charter School, I have been one of the ones that was responsible to make sure my children got home after public events or events that, you know, my particular group of chanters and dancers out of the school population, we'd have a public gig and I'd take them all home, down to the last student, young men and young women. I'm usually one of the strongest teachers that's able to corral the young men in the school because it's just my personality. They don't run all over me.
I know.
And, you know, there have been instances where when we travel with the school, you know, we have to have a chaperone in every room with every one of the kids. I have been a chaperone in the girls' room and I have been a chaperone in the boys' room. And it was very clear with what I expected out of all of them. And there was, I didn't get any backlash from them, not their parents. And our administration was like, we know you got this taken care of, Hina. for the most part, the parents that I engage with and that support Halaulakahi, they look to me to instill discipline, respect, and, you know, commitment to their craft in school, commitment to their education, commitment to their next level of success. And that's my job. And I remember, though, in the first year that Halaulakahi started, a father came speaking about his son being at our school, and he was talking to our director, Laura Albrecht. He said, oh, I like this school. I think my school, my son's going to do good over here. And then gesturing and looking my way, he said, oh, I don't know about this one, though, to be my son's teacher. As if to say he was concerned that his son would be taught by someone who is Mahu. And he didn't say too much after that, but my director said, oh, this is Kumuhina. She is very well respected, and we have complete trust and faith in her ability to teach the students. And my reaction to this was, you don't say anything to me unless you can do what I can do and do it better. You have nothing to comment on. And if I prove through my actions or lack thereof that I am not fit to teach what I am charged to teach, then you have every means to complain and, you know, and to follow through with that. But, you know, I put that challenge out there. Unless you can do what I can do, you have nothing to say. Period. You know, there was another fellow who was the boyfriend of a mom, you know, who sent her children to Halaulakahi. And one day he came up to me and he said, oh, how you can teach like that? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, how do you teach like that? You know, like, don't the kids know what you are? I mean, it's obvious. That's what he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, excuse me, what are you saying? He says, well, don't they know that you're a man? I said, what my children know is that, number one, I love them, I care about them, and that I will do right by them. They also know that I'm a very strict teacher and that I will have the highest expectation of them. If you have an issue with this, then you need to go and figure out how you're going to deal with it, but you have nothing to say about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you better step back, because then you're going to make me upset, and then I'll let you have it. And he looked at me and said, oh, well, I was just wondering. I said, no, I don't want to hear any more about it. Goodbye. Take yourself away.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back at another event that we had, stood very close to me and said, oh, I was wondering if I can be a friend. And I looked at him and I said, and yes, I'm saying this on public radio. I said, what do you mean you're going to be my friend? And in the nonverbal communication that he was giving me, meaning that he wanted to be a friend on an intimate level. And I thought to myself, get out of here. You have got to be kidding me. You stood there the last time I saw you criticizing me and saying, well, how come, you know, how do the kids accept me? And here you are. You're wanting to, quote, unquote, get to know me?
Mm-hmm.
You're out of your mind. So twice I told him, get away from me.
Yeah, it goes along with this silly thought that quite often the allegations or the inference or implication is that for some reason, I, as a heterosexual, I don't know if I've ever found the need or the desire or to go to a restroom and to find a look up. Well, most of the restrooms that I see, especially in this city, you just want to get in, get out. So, mm-hmm. so what is this notion that, well, you know, we can't let the transgenders go in because they'll be looking at the other women. But while in Europe, in many countries there, the same sex use a restroom. What is it about the American public that we're hung up on this sex, and that there's this great potential that people hang out in a restroom, a smelly restroom, to become romantic? That's the
that therein lies the diaspora of representatives of the American public.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different personalities and so many different folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reasons in their life, in their growing up, in their background and history, that they become the people, you know, that they are.
Mm-hmm.
That they should have etched in their minds penis and vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they see. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's baffling to the mind to consider, why do you only have this obsession with either penis or vagina, and there's no other value, there's no other worth.
Right.
You know, I see Kelly across from me, and I've not necessarily known Kelly for the years where we go back years,
mm-hmm.
but when I see her, I see a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I see someone whom I can identify with. I have walked the same walk. She and I, we may not have swapped all the stories of life,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I see a sister who has endured the same things that I have. I'm not, you know, when I see you,
mm-hmm.
I know that you're of African American descent. I'm not immediately thinking, ooh, Carol Cox, hey. You know, it's just
shucks.
Ridiculous. No, well, I mean, you know, I just think about it. To me, that is just so degrading and so demeaning, yeah. that I'm going to walk around. It's not to say that I don't look at somebody and I might find them attractive, or
mm-hmm.
that I might say, ooh, how nice looking. But to say that I only see,
yeah.
someone's genitalia, you know,
yeah.
in my eyes when I look at someone, that means that I'm probably not very educated, or I'm probably... not someone who doesn't have much of a life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to think about.
Overtly projecting your own, your personal thoughts.
That's right.
If you're preoccupied with it, you know.
Exactly.
When some people say it's not about the sex, you pretty much bet it's about the sex.
It's about sex.
It's not about this. It's about generally, you know. And it's unfortunate. We've gotten into this cesspool of looking
cesspool,
at
I love it.
Of human nature, and we
it.
Start to place values on who and what.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you emerging, I mean, that brings me to another point, passing. Now,
mm-hmm.
Imagine the struggle that Dinah Shore and Carol Channing, how nervous they must have been for their entire life, Carol Channing being a comedian, but yet hiding the fact that she's African-American, or Dinah Shore singing all those beautiful songs, but yet hiding because, what, she could pass easily?
And
so what, if you could speak to, there are transgenders that are still, that are struggling just, I mean, in their own minds, in their own hearts, they're prisoners. Because they know if they openly be who they are, it's almost a death knell to their careers or what have you. Can you speak to that?
Sure, and a lot of the transgenders are being marked as, oh, they can work, they don't have brains. You know, they don't belong in the workplace.
I heard that.
You know, we talked about this, too.
Yeah.
Mahu are some of the hardest working people, excuse me.
Very hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that they look at transgender as, excuse me, sex objects.
Right.
And that's not good. Because there's a lot of transgenders out there that make it very successful.
Yeah.
Look at Hina. She loves what she does.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Department of Public Safety. You know, there's a lot more transgenders out there that work.
Mm-hmm.
Work. But that's why we're trying to get the word out where the private sector or the government
mm-hmm.
allows to bring in transgenders
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
they can make some kind of living.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and however sensitive it may be, but there's another portion of this community, the transgender, transsexual community, that is scorned or looked down on, and that is the partners or husbands
oh,
or lovers
God.
of a transgender. Where do we begin? I mean, and there is no really no law that would protect them, but how do we get society to accept a couple rather than an individual? Okay, well, you will stand by and we'll stay clear of Kelly, but mm-hmm. her partner or her husband or what have you, is there stigma? Is there negativity? Do they suffer?
Well, transgenders, like the rest of everyone else, deserve to have their private lives and not make it a public life.
Mm-hmm.
So transgenders, you know, they're entitled to have privacy.
Mm-hmm.
They have intimate partners or lifetime partners, too.
Right.
Like in my case, you know, but we just want to be respected, just
mm-hmm.
like a normal couple.
Yeah.
You know, nothing else. We don't expect anything from the public.
But is there negativity? How does the public, when you go in, I mean, you don't go in and declare, we're married, we're a couple, we're an item. You don't declare that.
No.
But do you ever see any kind of discrimination, or have you experienced it?
My husband, he, for as strong as he is, he has had moments where he would tell me that, you know, that I don't know what it's like to feel that angst.
Mm-hmm.
When the people look at him, and especially within his own community, in the Tongan community,
mm-hmm.
how the people feel, how much disdain and how much prejudice there is that he should choose to spend time with me.
Mm.
That, you know, it's just unbelievable sometimes to think that others would impose themselves on us mm-hmm. or anyone else like us to say that what they feel is appropriate would apply to our lives. Mm-hmm. We are not them and they are not us.
Right.
And I don't go around telling other people that they should or shouldn't be with whomever they choose to be. You don't know how much. For the listeners out there, the man that is my husband has endured a lot mm-hmm. being with me as, you know, a public figure, because I'm the chair of the Oahu Island Burial Council, mm-hmm. because I am public face for Halalokahi Public Charter School, because I'm running for the Office of Hawaiian Affairs Trustee at Large this year.
And I hope you're successful.
Thank you.
I think the Hawaiian community will be well served.
Well, and given this, our lives end up being public for everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a challenge, and I don't know what to say. It just for once maybe I'm at a loss for words, because all I can think of is the hurt. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pain that comes up when I think about that.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Any comment or question?
Yeah, I got a comment regarding this.
Turn your radio down.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
The question is, if I put on female clothes and went into the ladies' bathroom or the girls' shower room to watch, would I be arrested for being a peeping Tom, as if I was looking through the window in the girls' dressing room?
No, you'd probably be blind. They'd punch your eyes out. That's the only answer I got for you, because, you see, that's a different subject.
Against the law.
Listen. It's not against the law. For you to do that, of course it's against the law, because it's contrived. It's your purpose is not, you're not exhibiting and living your rights, and you are, as a ruse, becoming a pervert. And generally what happens in those instances, what by the time the police arrive there, they find the pervert drowning in the toilet because they put his head in there and shut the door on it. In order to say, to entertain your comments or that question that you have, that would suggest that this is what goes on. You're talking apples and oranges. One is a perverted behavior, which would be sick and should be arrested. And if they could find the remains of you after you've done that, But this is different. You're belittling an entire, I think you missed the first hour or the portion of life that says that this isn't a trend. They're not doing this to get in to see naked women.
Well, does he have a card that says I'm a transgender? This is what I'm saying. My second scenario is high school or intermediate school ladies basketball coach.
All right, okay. Let me ask you this. Do you have a card that say you're a man? Tell me some of the things.
It shows a picture.
No, that say that you're a man. A card, like you just asked. Do they have a card that say that? Do you have a card? And then on that card, what kind of information does it have? Your size of your penis, size of your ears, size of your eyes? What does it say?
You're dancing around the subject.
No.
I just want to take too much time. This other scenario is,
okay,
transgender male who dresses as a woman is a coach of the girls' basketball team.
Right.
Would you feel comfortable if your wife or if your child in the school went in the shower and this male, quotes, transgender, showers with all the girls? Would you feel comfortable?
Well, I don't think we would assume that that's the scenario that the
well, this the, is wait, what they're wait, inferring. Wait. They're inferring that they're a woman and they should have the rights to go into a female facility.
Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing these kinds of questions, but it allows us to say to you that is exactly what we're saying. They're not perverts. They're not trying to go out there. They won't go and put on a dress to go in and look like you would and to get a cheap look. you know, first of all, and probably more than likely there are rules that they couldn't and wouldn't be showering with his children. So, well, I mean, but you, when you're
the liberals, they would say it'd be okay since they declared to be a woman that it should be allowed to whether use the ladies' bathroom or the girls' shower. So, this is my question. So,
yeah, and anyway, yeah, and that's good.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I understand your motives. But when you take a real situation and you ignore that, and then you start to invent and introduce the invention as being a fact or reality, how does one answer you? You know, what if I put on a dress and, well, see, that has nothing to do with the tea price of China, tea in China. Nothing. It's just you're inventing this scenario, and that means that we all flock to that scenario and say, oh, yeah, well, you're right.
You know,
go ahead.
Americans and Disability Act requires a certain elevators are used or doors are wide enough so these people can get it. If the federal government or the state government recognizes transgenders as a discriminated against part of society, then they should make it a law that a transgender bathroom be built in any facility that employs men and women.
Well, that's a good,
become a law.
Yeah, that's a good thought, Ed. And I think you should get out there if that's what you believe. Get out there and work your butt off and get it changed. But until then, this is the struggles. See, what they have to navigate through, this kind of rhetoric, this kind of opinions, that they're doomed before they even breathe the first breath of air in the morning.
Okay, no, Carol.
I have nothing against transgenders. I have transgender friends.
Okay.
But my point is, I would feel uncomfortable if my child, because is in a bathroom or dressing room or whatever, and a man is allowed to be in there.
She's going to answer. Let me address this, sir. With all due respect to you, I think that the lack of information and a lack of clear understanding and a lack of clear analysis of the situation enables people to wander wherever they will and meander in their minds as to the what-ifs and the potential negative things. Number one, if there was an individual who was a transgender, I'd be more focused on, can this transgender individual take this athletic team to their next level? Can they be a coach that produces winning students and winning teams? Next, my question would be, okay, if there is a transgender individual, then what will be the accommodation made?
No, you don't get the point. The coach is a coach. I don't care whether he's transgender.
I'm sorry, I'm speaking. Can you please not cut me off? Thank you. So what I'm saying is that in order for someone to analyze what the situation is, there's the focus on what's the level of product of this individual. When it comes to where the individual will shower, let me share with you that during my time in school, being born my family's son, I went to school as a male and I participated in sports as a male. The coaches had the option to shower with, in the same locker room as the rest of the male athletes. They often did. And they also had option for, you know, showering in a different section, but it was a little bit further away. Mm-hmm. In the case of a transgender individual, the logical thing would be to ensure that there was an accommodation that the coach could take a shower rather than what worrying about is this individual going to go in there, be perverted. You know, that, and I'm not trying to disagree that there aren't those kinds of individuals. There certainly are individuals that will take advantage. There are individuals that will be inappropriate. And there are individuals that may prey on, you know, the youth. However, that is not to simply relegate every transgender out there and lump them all into this category of predators. You know, there has to be some level of accommodation that can be made for someone who is going to be a positive contribution to whatever the effort or the sport is.
You don't get my point. My point is it has nothing to do with transgenders. It's the girls in the ladies, the girl shower would be uncomfortable if a male is showering with them, if this was allowed by the school. Okay. Don't you agree with that? What would the little girls think when they see a man in the same shower, taking a shower with them? It's nothing to do with whether you're transgender or not.
If I were a coach of this team, and I were a preoperative transgender, I certainly would not be attempting to take off my clothes and going in to shower with these young women. That would be the furthest thing from my mind. I don't think that you really understand what transgenders experience. I would never want the humiliation. If I still had a penis, I would not want to walk into the shower with a bunch of young women so that these young women can look at me and say, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but if you're in your mind that you're a woman, you might want to do it. You may not be a pervert. You might just consider this normal for me to go shower with a woman because I'm thinking a woman, although I'm a man.
Actually, because, well, I can't say for Caucasian transgender women who come from the continental U.S., but I know that there's a great number of transgender women here in Hawaii who would, as far as sexual preference, the males are usually the preferred preferred partner of choice. So putting a male to female transgender into a shower with men, I think would, if what you're saying is correct, you would rather have the transgender go into a shower with men and perhaps leave the opportunity for the men to be preyed upon?
Yeah. Well, I'd be embarrassed if a female came in the shower with me and saw my little thing.
All right. Anyway. Thank you, Ed, and we're going to entertain another call. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. This is Carolyn from Akakilo, and I want to thank you for having this very interesting show this morning. First of all, it is so educational. And I want to thank Hina and Kelly and, of course, Carol for allowing this and for participating in this. I want to give a shout-out to Hina because I met Hina years ago in a class at UH, and she was tremendous. She carried herself with such grace and dignity, and she was there to study. It's a shame that not all people accept people for who they are and who they present themselves as. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the biggest education anyone can receive, no matter where they live, no matter where they go to school, and certainly, especially here in Hawaii, where we are supposed to be the Aloha State, mm-hmm. the state of love and caring for all of our keiki and all of our ohana. But thank you, all of you, for being open to the public today and talking to them and educating them.
Don't go away. Hold on. Hold that thought. Got more. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, I would just like to simply say thank you so much for airing this important subject on the radio today. It's very wonderful to hear you, in particular, how you responded to that recent caller as well as your guest.
Well, he's my favorite caller. That's Ed. And we don't want to be disrespectful to him. And it's provocative. And I really, he has a place on this show because he asked that question where others would be. I wonder, you know, so thank you.
Yes, but I would also like to say that I think the comments that he made are indicative of the kind of perceptions or misperceptions that are put out there about gender nonconforming people by those, you know, we might call, on the conservative or right side of the political arena in the U.S. who really try to focus in attention inappropriately on these subjects. The reality is that gender nonconforming and transgender folks, mahu, are among the most vulnerable people in our society. They are not those who are perpetrating the kinds of things this gentleman put out there. So my question really would be to Kelly and Hina, here living in Hawaii, how do you see the way that Hawaii addresses inclusion and participation of all in society as a potential model for people not just here but across the U.S. and around the world? And thank you so much again for your program.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I think that here in Hawaii, we have every opportunity to enable the host culture of these islands to say to the larger public, every ethnicity that comes to Hawaii and call Hawaii home, it is essential to be open to deferring to what the host culture will say about this. And in our culture, there will be many Hawaiians who understand. There are those who don't agree, but there are reasons why they don't agree. And bless their hearts, but they have assimilated to the Christian doctrines of a prudent life, and therefore the existence of an individual in a mahu context is not acceptable nor palatable to many of them who are on that extreme. But for those Hawaiians who still embrace the element of mahu as an integral understanding of our culture, not necessarily a tradition or something that's blatantly out there and pronounced, but simply something of matter of fact. And mahu in the community now are often seen as keepers of culture. There are many mahu who are either practitioners of hula or perpetuators of Hawaiian language, repositories of knowledge, people who understand how to go and gather and pick medicinal herbs, make lei. There are mahu, many mahu who are caregivers. There are so many examples within our culture here in Hawaii that illustrate the value and the worth of the people who straddle the middle line of life, the people who exist in a context where they have the insight and potential philosophy and outlook of both male and female. That it is rather, for me, a blessing that I have both to analyze the road of my life. I can tap into that which may be, you know, more on the feminine side and more on, sometimes more on the masculine side. It depends on what's going on in my life. It depends on what roadblocks I'm hitting. For me, I look at it as a place of empowerment now, that I wasn't just born your ordinary male or your ordinary female. I was born someone who has the spirit and the heart of both.
Mm-hmm. You there, caller? Yeah. Okay, I guess we lost Carolyn, too.
No.
Oh.
Enjoying the interchange, and I am so proud of Hina and the fact that she's taken her education and she continues to use it so to educate all of us in so many different ways. Thank you, Hina. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, dear.
I don't think I've met you, but you are a brave and wonderful person. And I hope someday to meet you.
Now, before you guys go away and all the way coming down to Alaska, now, what about those people that are afraid, knowing they'll be persecuted? They have to deal with challenges at home, in the dark, behind closed doors. Is there help for anyone, or what is a good lawyer? Can you refer someone to a good lawyer? Can you give some support numbers? And I've posted a few things that we'll be posting on, and there's Carolyn, you know any organizations locally that someone can consult or refer to?
Well, there's a new one on board called the Rainbow Family 808, and it really does try to reach out to the straight and LGBT community families out there, and we never turn anyone away, and we do our best to network within the community to make sure that we get the best possible help that is available.
And how do I get that information. Rainbow 808, and that's your organization, right? Or
yeah,
you're part of it?
Yeah, turns out it is. And it's Rainbow Family 808.
Okay.
And you can, we're on Facebook. We have the same website, rainbowfamily808.com. And our phone number is 779-9078. And Hina is one of our persons that we refer to because she is so knowledgeable in this area.
Thank you, dear.
A smart person. She is, though. It should give you the title of Honorable Miss Hawaii, because you
are. Oh, my.
You are, really. You. I mean, here you do the meleys, here you do the pulleys.
I better take you to lunch after this.
No, I have the highest regards for you. And Kelly, you too. But
thank you.
Thank you for just standing up and speaking out, because.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I know that. We're not going to win the world in one swell swoop, but I guarantee you, one stroke at a time, we'll knock down the brick wall of. Because it's painful to be discriminated against and try to live in it and live a life where you can enjoy the sunshine, just that, or without hiding or fear that someone's going to out you or tell who you are or just all of that nasty, ugly.
Well, that's education out there, and I guess everyone has to educate each other.
Yeah.
To understand.
So we're going to do this again?
Whenever you would like.
Okay. So let's.
Sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming in. Carolyn, thank you. And Life Foundation, how do we get into the Life Foundation out there? They have counseling and all of that? Or what do they have, an outreach program?
I guess some of the information, we'll give it to you. You can post it.
Okay.
On your website.
And then how about the advocate? I was hoping she would call back, and the lawyer professor. We'll get that. We'll find
her. Yeah, we'll try to get her to.
But I really appreciate
give
you
give a few tips.
Anything closing, Carolyn? You want to? How's the new organization? You having meetings and?
We have meetings. In fact, this week we spoke with Catherine Zian about sex trafficking, and she was most informative. As a master's student from UH, or I've already graduated. I found out more about trafficking and the sex trades than was ever brought to our attention in school. So we need to continue to educate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we also help the Yo Foundation. It's a Yo Youth Outreach Waikiki, part of the Waikiki Health Center, that deals with 100 homeless youth in Waikiki every single night. They're out there, and there's very little resources, but Yo does a wonderful job, and so we support them 100%, and we're looking for a shelter, because we can't handle thinking that 100 of our youth are out there without a place to lay their head every night.
Okay.
Every single night. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, give Michael Jr. a popsicle that kept stop him from screaming in the background.
Oh. Thank you.
I hear him going, ah! No, that's your bird. I'm kidding. I just
I know. It's good old Eve.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye-bye. Aloha.
Okay. Real quick, we got...
Yes. Carol, you know, we got... we're always here. There's many avenues of support, but one immediate avenue into a different way of life is coming to our film, Kumuhina, June 28th, out at Turtle Bay, 7 p.m. Come and check it out and see what options that our Hawaiian culture has.
Send me a copy or a note, and I'll post it on that website at carolcox.com.
We'll do.
Real quick, we got 10 seconds.
Thank you, Carol, for the opportunity to be able to express and share discrimination. And unfortunately, there's a lot more education have to get out there. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thank you, guys.
Aloha.
But anyway.
Mahalo.
Aloha. Anyway, hey, I have a bunch of young kittens that it's the kitten season. I need some adoption, some homes for these kittens. So give me a call at 782-6627, and let's find a home for them, too. So I thank Kelly Keavi and Hina Wong Kalu for joining me, and thank all of you for calling in and listening. And aloha.
Aloha.
Yes, they never chance to see me today, but they hear me when I howl. Yes, you know I'm that wolf digs a hole. I think my nose.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.